David Warrow's not available. Everyone else is. I'm fit, raring to go. And fantastic cup tie, full house. Great day it's going to be. Great day. Great stadium. Great occasion. Looking forward to it.
What about the two the lone strikers, Matt Tubbs and Tom Eaves? Are they going to be available for this one?
Well, Tubbs, we've had the confirmation. Eaves, we're waiting on Dougie Friedman coming back to us. We're hopeful, that's all we can say. But Dougie said he'll get back to us on Thursday, so we're no later today.
Matt Tubbs getting a goal at the weekend. How pleased were you to see him get off the mark for Rotherham United? And do you see this as an opportunity for him to go on a bit of a run now?
Well, he'll not get on an opportunity to get a run if I don't pick him on Saturday, will he? You know, it was important for his sake and from everyone's sake he got a goal. The quality of the finish was outstanding. He takes a long ball in, controls it fantastically and slides it in. We're used to seeing that as a management team. But, of course, the Millers fans are not because they've not seen that. But they've seen a fairly fit Matt Tubbs now. Somebody that's had enough reserve games. You know, we spoke months ago and said we need to get him up to speed and you can try as much as you want, running people up and down the training ground and working on training drills. But he's had enough reserve games, he's had enough couple of starts, which you do in pre-season, and a couple off the bench and all the things. But we've probably now got him in terms of physical condition where he was before. Now, whether that's still inside him to go and have a run of goals and take those half chances that we made over a period of time at our previous club and he took him away, then remains to be seen. But he's in a good place right now in terms of ready to do that. So let's hope he does.
Is this a big opportunity for him over the next couple of months? Obviously, he's on loan until January, isn't he? But whether he's going to stay at this club permanently or, I don't know, move on elsewhere, get in the Bournemouth team, whatever his ambitions are, he's got a big couple of months ahead, hasn't he?
Yeah, from a personal level, he has. You know, Matt, I've always had confidence that wherever Tubbsy goes, Tubbsy will get goals. And if he goes away from here in January and he goes back to Bournemouth and plays, he'll get goals. If he goes somewhere else, he'll get goals. He is a goal scorer. And, you know, but the first thing that always impressed us about Matt Tubbs was never his goals, was always his work rate and his determination to work hard for the team. And I think Saturday was at home at Colchester was a great vision of that when you see him chasing lost causes into the channels. And I think in one occasion in the second half, the ball's got switched behind him and he's run behind the goals, got across the pitch quicker and chasing people. So when he works as hard as that, we've always said when he works as hard as that, he earns the right to get a chance. And if he earns the right to get a chance, then Tubbs, he should and normally take them.
Is he the kind of player who plays with a chip on his shoulder at all? Because, you know, one or two fans have doubted his ability and, you know, they've not seen the best of him so far. I mean, you know what he's about, but the fans here haven't seen that. Is he the kind of player who's going to play with that on his mind? He want to prove people wrong?
No, he doesn't. He's the opposite to that. He's a kid that just gets his head down and works hard. He's not come from a privileged background. He's the opposite. He's a bit like me. He's come from holes in the shoes. And he's had an upbringing that you do everything right. And he's never for one day at the Millers not worked hard and no worked smart. And he's never been one day late, one day no here, never off ill, nothing. He's a fantastic professional. And so when you have a fantastic professional, we've got lots of them here, then we want those lads and those particular lads to do very well. So if Miller fans would know that deep down is Matt Tubbs hurting when he didn't score or his form wasn't dictating he gets in, he'll be hurting more than any of us. And they can doubt him, you're right, because it's what he does in a Rotherham United shot that either impresses or unimpresses them. But he only needs to put up his goals record. And that speaks for itself. He's a goal scorer. And goal scorers don't become not goal scorers unless there's some issues. And he never played for a year in terms of consistently at first team level. And that's an issue.
Could he be the answer for you over these next few weeks? You've been looking for one of your strikers to go on a bit of a tear, haven't you? I mean, could he be the one to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course he could. And so could others. You know, we've certainly got a lot of strikers here that we'd say on paper can put the ball in the net. And that's been a problem because there's no manager you'll find in League One or no supporter you'll find who's watched Rotherham this season who's not said we wanted to step up to League One and embrace it and play. We're playing a certain way and dominate games. And we've done that all by probably one game in total, two half games where we've no dominated from start to finish and we've no had our rewards. But what are you doing? I've taken counsel from a lot of managers in the last week, 10 days. There's a lot of pluses. Dominating games and making chances and playing with the passion that we are is all ticks in the boxes. And of course, it all comes back to winning. But I'll tell you what, playing with a lack of confidence, no playing well and no making chances is the sack, whether you're a player or a manager. And we're the opposite to that. You know, and it's interesting. You know, we get into a big cup tie on Saturday, massive cup tie. And I was with a manager a couple of weeks ago at an awards evening and we had a long chat. And Phil was openly speaking, Phil Parkinson, about what a great season they're having and they're enjoying it and how well they're playing. And so he should, because I've seen them. They're 2 points in front of us. And we're frustrated.
I'll come back to the game in a minute. Kari Arnesen has obviously got the playoffs coming up, hasn't he, with Iceland. When does he rejoin them and how long are you going to be without him for?
Well, we'll miss Kari for Hartlepool on Tuesday and the JPT and Stevenage on Saturday. That's the two games we're missing for. He'll be back with us on the following Wednesday.
Hmm. Is it the same for Michael O'Connor as well?
We're still speaking to Northern Ireland. I mean, Michael's not 100% fit yet. And so I'm having a chat with Michael O'Neill as we speak to see where that goes. And he'd be available for the JPT, I think, but he wouldn't be available for the Stevenage match. But we've not had any consistency as a management team being able to pick our best 11 regularly because of injuries, because of silly suspensions and bookings that frustrate the life out of me. Saturday, Colchester being an example, he boots Mark Bradley and then tells me he's probably harsh on Mark Bradley afterwards. I don't care about being harsh, just don't book him. And So that's been frustrating, but Michael would be technically missing Stevenage.
Do you have to speak to them as well in particular about Michael, because he's had a few health issues and he's been on international duty and then you've lost him for a period of time afterwards, and that has to be a concern with the player when he's coming back to 100%.
Yeah, I think Michael wouldn't want to go at this minute in time because he's not 100%. He's probably in his 90s, and if you're going to step up for your country you want to be in 100%, but we respect the fact, and I respect the fact that that decision will lie with Michael O'Neill from the Northern Ireland manager, and he will make that decision. We're not here to go against the protocol, if you like. If the protocol is that he selects Michael and he wants him to turn up, Michael, on behalf of Rotherham United, will turn up. But we hope that he understands that we're saying he's not 100%, because I don't play players that are not 100%. I don't want players that's not 100%. But Michael O'Neill might have a different view on that and maybe have a different... Maybe want him around the squad or around him, I don't know. But we have to wait on his feedback.
You said after the game on Saturday that was as down as you've ever been as a manager. What was it in particular about that game that really got to you?
I don't think it was the one particular game or the one particular moment when they score, again in the words of the match referee, with the benefit of hindsight, he played too long.
Is that what he said?
Well, we had a chat and he said with the benefit of hindsight he shouldn't have allowed the second phase from the corner to have taken place, and second phase takes place and they score. But he didn't do that, Jay. He didn't do that willfully. He done it innocently, the referee, didn't he? I'm not questioning MD's integrity. He's an honest guy, but he got it wrong. But that, that 1 minute in isolation and that 20 seconds in isolation isn't the reason we didn't win the game. We didn't win the game because we didn't turn our dominance into a win. And we've watched it time after time. We should have gone out of Leighton Orient with something to bag. How we didn't beat Tranmere was as bad as not beating Colchester, in my opinion. Where it was even worse, Tranmere had one shot at goal, the penalty. And we've had some, Peterborough United at home. There's still some things. And it was probably accumulation of all those things that just made me feel really, really down. But I have a very positive chairman, I have a very positive board of directors and coaching staff, and we picked ourselves up over Saturday and Sunday, and we come in Monday, and to be fair to the players and the staff, the training ground has been really bright this week, so we've moved on.
It's often your job as a manager to lift the players then. Do you need people as well sometimes that have to lift Steve Evans too, just to get you sort of your spirits going again?
Well, I've always had the saying in the past, who motivates the motivator? And the answer I always used to come up against was myself. I don't have that here. I have Tony Stewart. We're particularly close, as people know. And I have in my own words, whether we go forward long term, short term, whatever, I have the most fantastically supportive man, forget chairman title, man, person, human being, friend that any manager could ever wish to work with and for. And believe me, he was on the phone to me a lot Saturday evening, a lot Sunday. And his words, which are private, make you feel very, very valued as a human being. And if he does that, it shows you there's a real long-term plan at Rotherham United. That's what the chairman's always said. Saturday night and Sunday proved that to me.
I just wonder, at the start of the year, you came flying out of the traps. There was so much adrenaline going there, wasn't there? You won some big games, had some big performances. Can you ever have a bit of a come-down after that? Even if you are the fittest team in the Football League, if you have such an all-action start, can it sort of impact your energy levels? And has that had an impact at all in these last few games?
No, I don't think so. I think we've been unfortunate not being able to pick key players, and we've lost key players at key times. A lot of keys in there, but it's true. We've never been able to get a real consistency in our team selection because of internationals, both Michael and Carey, suspensions, Frecklington, O'Connor, Morgan. There's none of those guys who's committed the challenges while they have a booking. We've broken down all the cautions, and letter of the law has to be applied by match officials. We understand that, but I think Colchester at home was particularly galling. You know, you watch a Colchester player, I'm not going to go through the names of them, but he has three challenges. He gets spoken to twice by the referee and the third time with the captain. Mm. Matt Bradley makes one challenge, wins the ball and gets booked. And I accept the referee's words that he got that wrong, so I can move on from that. But that's been synonymous of what we've seen in a lot of games. Lee Frecklin to get booked a couple of weeks ago for a shoulder challenge in the middle of the park on 70-odd minutes. Incredible booking. But it put him out and we're just shaking our head. But, you know, things will stop like that. We'll move on and we'll remain positive and say that it's nothing other than we're not carrying a lot of luck. And how do you get luck back? You get on the training ground and you get on the pitch in 90 minutes and you force it to turn. That's the only way you can do it.
A few weeks ago, you highlighted the progress of Daniel Rowe as a young player who was really sort of impressing you. How has he since progressed? Has he taken another step forward, perhaps getting closer to being involved in the first team?
Yeah, he's a good kid. Is he better than Arnesson and Morgan? No. Not at the minute. Could he be? Yes, absolutely. Could he be up there with the Arnesson type? Yes, he probably plays similar to Carey Arnesson if we'd picked somebody in our squad. But is he near to start in our team? No. Is he there levels yet? No. Will he be by the end of the season? Maybe.
Has he got good role models in this team then? People he can look up to and say, you know, maybe you can say, keep an eye on how he plays, how he deals with this situation, because that's what's going to get you in this team.
Well, I think he only has to look at the centre-backs we've got. We've got a real mixture, haven't we? We've got Carey Arnesson, Craig Morgan. Is there better than them? I think you need to go far and wide. Claude Davis is back fit. He's trained all week and trained well. Mapier Plart at the weekend. And Pablo Mills has been fantastic for us. He's got sloppy in a couple of occasions, he gets caught the odd time, but he's been fantastic for us. He's the cheapest player on League One, and for what he gives back, he's been incredible.
Time for the token transfer market question. Anything going on at the moment?
As we sit today, maybe one ahead of the weekend. I'm waiting on a call back from a Championship manager. Would he start? No. Would he be involved if he signed? Yes, absolutely. But it genuinely is a 50-50, maybe. I've asked a question late yesterday. And then we've got a good squad here. We're not going to go chasing players for the sake of chasing them. I think we've gone down that road and we're not going to go back doing it. And then we'll have a little look at where we are before the window shuts. And then we'll have a little look at when it opens. And we'll have a real good look when it opens.
When do you think you expected an answer today, or is it just so open because you're not going to start on the weekend?
We're not today. He's not training today, so he couldn't possibly start. But he could certainly sit on our bench and play a part, if that makes sense. He's got enough ability to do that. But listen, let me, I've been very open with you. I could have said no, so let me see where that call goes this afternoon.
Let's look at the game then. It is a big game, isn't it? And it's, you know, the FA Cup at this stage doesn't always throw up the most interesting fixtures, but this particular is one, isn't it? What do you make of it?
What's the tie of the round? Why the television cameras? I know he has a mystery to everybody in football, including everybody I've spoke to, not just some, everyone. But we understand in the early rounds, and I've been there as a manager, where the lower placed clubs get a chance to get in front of the cameras and earn the financial rewards that come with it, and great for them. I've been there. It's fantastic for them. But this is the tie of the round, isn't it? Yorkshire Derby. Two clubs doing well in League One. Two clubs on the back of a promotion last season. Two special sets of supporters for both clubs. And both squads very, very decent. I don't think any manager, if I was a manager of Bradford or Phil walked into the Millers tomorrow, I don't think any manager would walk in here and say there's too many complaints with the squad you've got.
What do you remember about that game at the end of last season, and how important was that to ultimately winning promotion, do you think?
Oh, my recollection, we come under a lot of pressure early, which you'd expect at Valley Parade. We stood up to that pressure. We got a penalty. Some have said it's not a penalty. If that's not a penalty, we should give football up. It's a penalty. We score and we come under a bit of late pressure, which you're going to do when you're on a single goal lead at Valley Parade. And then we break from a corner and Kieran walks it into an empty net. Over 90 minutes, did we deserve to win the game? Yes, we did.
Do you think that game, I certainly got the impression after that everybody at the club believed you're going to do this. Is that, was that the sort of the moment when you feel like that happened, that the real belief started?
Well, I think from about November to the previous year up until we went to Valley Parade, with that many people knocking us from outside the camp and saying it wasn't going to happen. And I told my chairman in the morning of the Bradford game that if we beat Bradford tonight, we'll win promotion. And I firmly believed it. And because I couldn't see any other team get near us. I couldn't see the Exeters, the Fleetwoods, Plymouths, you know, but Aldershot, as well, with respect to those clubs. I couldn't see any of them stop what we were starting to achieve then. And when we went to Bradford and win, I think it was that. I think it was only down to Plymouth then. I think it was Bradford, Plymouth, Aldershot. And I think we knew when we went at Bradford, we could certainly win at Plymouth.
You've talked about, you know, how there are some similarities between the clubs. Is that, are they quite closely connected here, do you think? The fact that you both won promotion last year, similarly placed in the table right now, both had good starts, and both with ambitions of pushing on even further, not settling for just League One.
Well, I think Bradford's been in the Premier League. Rotherham United's been in the Championship. I think both clubs would grace the Championship. And I mean that, but you have to earn the right to be there. It's easy to talk about it. Both chairmen have a fantastic relationship, I'm told. I know my chairman thinks the world of the chairman up at Bradford and vice versa. I think both managers respect each other, and both players respect each other. I think fans are typical fans, as in it's a, they don't respect each other, they dislike each other when it comes to the match, but respect each other every other time. It's got the hallmarks of a fantastic cup tie. Let the best team win. Because if I'd had that all season, we'd be top of the league, wouldn't we? Because we've been the best team in most of the games we've played. But you don't always get what you deserve in this game. It is a real habit of slapping you when you least deserve it.
The fans are looking for, I mean, the fans have been talking about this since the draw. Both sets of supporters are desperate to win. There is a bit of a rivalry there, probably because of, you know, the way that last season ended and all of that. So do you think that it's going to play out that way on the field? I mean, there is the respect that you've taught there behind the scenes, but on that pitch, we're going to see a bit of a battle at the weekend.
Well, I hope so. Should be a battle, shouldn't it? Both committed teams. I think it will be. I think it will have a physical element, but it's also got a footballing element. Both have got outstanding footballers. So I think there'll be a real football aspect to it as well. But you have to deploy your football, you have to earn the right to play first, don't you? And both clubs are very good at that. Both teams can go and home or away and earn the right to play. And I've watched Bradford lose this year. I watched them lose 1-0 at home to Bradford. If it had been a boxing match, it'd have been stopped in 20 minutes. You know, they'd knocked the stuffing out of Tranmere, but just couldn't get the goal, and we'd been there. But this is it's a great top cup tie. It's got all the ingredients of being a great cup tie, and we want to remember it on Saturday night and going forward for all the right reasons. And if you're a Miller like I am, you want to remember it fondly for the right reasons that you've won a great cup tie.
Can you be a good cup team? I mean, you've had teams at Crawley, you've had teams at Rotherham that have done well in the cup competitions. They made the League Cup final last year. What kind of mentality do you need in a team to be a good cup team, do you think?
I think winners, ultimately winners, and match winners. And both teams have got that. Both teams have got a lot of winners in terms of character. I think the midfield is key on Saturday. I think there's 4-5-6 top players in there for, you know, depending on systems. And I think that's a real key area. I think, you know, the striking role, they've got, you know, arguably two of the top boys in Hansen and Nicky Wells. You know, they're hard to deal with. But, you know, if I was their centre-back, I suppose I'd be thinking that Alex Ravel and Tubbs Arnardiello or a guard or whoever we play or Eves is going to be an easy afternoon. So I think it'll be fine margins on Saturday. And fine margins, we beat Bradford City 4-0 here and earlier last season, the league game. It could have been 3-3 at half-time. We were fortunate. They missed a couple of chances. We scored a couple. We got a deflected goal. You know, it's fine margins, as we found on Saturday at home at Colchester. It's fine margins. That ball hits the ball, goes half an inch over the line, bounces, and it's a goal. Half an inch over the line, bounces out. Half an inch either way, it's fine margins.
I saw a quote from you that said you didn't used to like the FA Cup. So what was behind that opinion to start with, and what changed your opinion?
Well, I hated the FA Cup, so I kept getting beat every time I was in it. And I used to sit and watch all the wonderful cup draws, all the exciting things on television, all the radio coverage, all the media coverage of others used to get. And you get jealous, don't you? You get jealous of others. And as we all, every manager in Leagues 1 and 2 and non-league goes into the, the first round on Saturday. I'll tell you what now, there'll be six or seven surprises, won't there? When we all sit down at the end of round one, there'll be six or seven surprises in terms of results and who goes through. And someone will draw a nice tie in the next round. But when it gets to the third and the fourth round, and then comes the big cherries, and everyone wants to pluck a big cherry off the tree, that's when the jealousy factor comes in, and it's almost galling, and everyone don't want to look at it when you know in it. And I've been there, I've been in it, and I've been out it. I'd rather be in it.
I was talking to Nigel Clough yesterday, and he mentioned how drawing Manchester United in the FA Cup when he was Burton sort of helped raise the profile of that club financially. It was a great boost, but it also drew attention to what was happening at that club as it was moving up through the divisions. Would you say that was similar with you guys at Crawley when you drew Manchester United? Did it just raise the profile, not just of that club, but of the job that you'd done there?
Well, to get Manchester United at Crawley, we did, of course, beat Nigel Clough in Derby County. We were in the conference and they were in the championship, and we scored a last-minute goal in an injury time from Sergio Torres to send Nigel home out the FA Cup, and it was great. And the rewards of that transpired was a couple of rounds later where we were at Old Trafford, and our rewards for beating Derby was Torquay away. My God, we were spewing. But our rewards for beating Torquay away was Old Trafford and 77,000 people and almost £2 million in gate receipts for Crawley, not shared, for Crawley. Incredible. And so from that point of view, everyone dreams of them. But Nigel done it at Burton. He went through a replay waiting on Man United waiting on the winners. And what it done for the chairman of Burton Albion and that football club, and Nigel was unprecedented. It helped him get the finance to win promotion from the conference, get the Derby job, etc. And Nigel sits here where I sit, having done that at the lower levels, but it's Rotherham United going to Old Trafford or going to Liverpool or going to Everton or Tottenham or any of these big boys in the FA Cup. It's fantastic. You know, and if we get there, it'll be game on. We'll be game on. We could beat them.
Because you showed that at Aston Villa, didn't you, in the League Cup, that you can give anybody a game. Is that ability to get to the third round sort of driving you on and the players here? Because obviously the league is always the main priority, isn't it? But a good cup run and getting into that third round draw is one of the more special days in the football calendar, isn't it?
Well, the league is your bread and butter, and everyone will always say that, and so they should. It's over 46 games. You can, in effect, win the league, you can win promotion. You can't win the FA Cup, but you can have days on it when you're old and you've got grandkids, and you can tell your grandkids about these special days. We went to Villa in the Capital One Cup. We should have been 3-0. Well, not 3-0, we get punished. But it was still a great education. It was still a great experience for a football club. We were still treated like a Premier League club with the guys down at Villa. But for us to achieve any of that, we've got to try and get by Bradford City on Saturday. And that's going to be one tough test, because this is a very good Bradford City side coming to us. Improved on last year. Everything about them is a little bit better. And therefore, we need to be ready to deal with that task, and it'll be fine lines. One thing I know, off the pitch, we'll outsign the opposition. Off the pitch, we'll win that battle. On the pitch, we need to match that.